Christmas! I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad you're joining us today. Hey, my kids are on Christmas break. I hope yours are too. I love it when my kids are home on Christmas break. Give me a nod if you know what I'm talking about, parents, all right? I just love it. Some parents are like, no, dude, no, send them to school. But I just like it. I mean, I just have fun with my kids. We go do cool stuff. A while ago, my wife had this idea. This is years ago. My wife had this awesome idea to make a slide down our basement stairs. So we took a bunch of cardboard boxes and unlaid them. And I was like, this is brilliant. This is awesome. So we let our kids slide down the stairs into the basement. And you got a video. You want to see it? Yeah. It was cool. It was cool. Check it out.
That's going to be jumpy enough.
Yeah.
Go.
Go first.
All right, so I thought we had a good thing going, but do you ever have that moment in life where something happens and you're like, why didn't I see that coming? Okay, so my son Simeon, basically, you could sum up his whole life that way. But he went down the slide, and about halfway down the staircase, his foot caught. And he just, well, just look at it. Just look at it.
Oh. I broke an egg.
Whoa. Okay, so you know how when something bad happens, it's all in slow motion? For me, this whole thing looked kind of like this.
I broke an egg.
And right about there, I realize I'm a bad dad.
Whoa! Are you okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, his eyes are sparkling because he's just like our adrenaline junkie, and he's just fine with that. So my Simeon just nuts. But you know how like something happens, and you're just like, why didn't I see that coming? Why didn't I know that one of these kids was going to go flying halfway down the staircase and nearly die? Why didn't I see that coming? And I think the answer is because I need people in my life. You probably need people in your life too who are there to kind of be like, yo, Jeff, shooting your kids down a staircase into the basement is a bad idea, right? Like, you need people like that in your life. Not that I would have listened to them. But you need people like that in your life. And I'm thinking it's the same thing for you, because I'm thinking you have also had situations where you're like, man, I did not see that coming. Like, some of you have gotten into a relationship, and 6 months later, you're like, whoa, that did not turn out how I thought it was going to turn out. Or maybe 6 years later or 16 years later. Some of you got a job or school and you're like, what just happened? Some of you all had kids and you're like, what just happened? I just don't hear my life. If you have ever in your life had something happen and a little bit into it, you're like, why didn't I see that coming? Would you just go ahead and say, oh yeah. Right? That's like all of us. Let's just go ahead and write this down, okay? Sometimes we are surprised by situations in our life. I didn't see that coming. But the thing is, this isn't just about kids and jobs and dropping kids down staircases. This is spiritual stuff too. This is about God. Look, whether you're really into church or not, you know, I don't know. I'm glad you're here today, because I just want you to understand why God does what he does. Today we're going to talk about that. You're going to notice God doing things in your life if you got your eyes open. But so often, we miss what God is doing, even when it's right in front of our noses. We don't see it. As a matter of fact, that word that, I didn't see that coming, would you circle that and just draw a line and write the word God? Because sometimes you don't see God coming. You don't see what God's up to in your life. And we gotta get this right today. This is a really important topic, because if you miss what we're talking about, you're going to be going through life going, I don't know what God's doing. I don't know why he allowed this relationship, this cruddy relationship that broke me in my life. I don't know why. You're going to be wondering, why don't I have more money? Why is God doing what God's doing? And I don't want you to have to wonder that anymore. You're going to be frustrated and not able to rely on God the right way. But if you get what we're talking about today, you'll be able to see God at work in your life. If you get what we're talking about today, you'll be able to understand what God wants from you in whatever situation you find yourself in. In fact, you're going to be able to look to other people and help them see what God is doing in their life too. And now, this is a big claim, I know, but if you grab your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 1, okay, this is where we're going to read. This is the Christmas story. And this is actually, the whole story boils down to, I didn't see that coming, but a few people did. So if you would turn there in Matthew chapter 1. So if you grab a Bible in the chair near you, it's page 783. And when you get to page 783, you'll see a big, large one, right? That's chapter 1. And we're going to go all the way down to the little tiny 18. That's verse 18. Okay, so this is the Christmas story. We're going to read it and we're going to learn how to see God at work. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Okay, so she's engaged, right? But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Think Joseph's going to buy that? She was pregnant. So what is Joseph thinking? You cheated on me. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Right? An angel had to come to him and tell him this. Otherwise, he wouldn't have believed Mary. And then we read, she will give birth to a son. This is still the angel talking. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All right, let's pray real quick that we'll understand this. Father in heaven, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help us to understand what these words mean, how they apply to our lives, how we can see you at work. Please give me the right communication and help each one of us to have a heart that's open to you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. But what you have to understand is the birth of Jesus Christ came about in a way that everybody was like, whoa, didn't see that coming. Because the Christmas story is something we're used to. For the last 2,000 years, people have told the Christmas story. Mary and Joseph had a baby, an angel showed up, shepherds sang, la, 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 right? But at the time, this was not what they expected, right? The Jewish people had been waiting for a Messiah for 1,000 years. I mean, they've been waiting and waiting. In fact, the whole nation of Israel had been waiting for their Messiah to come. The whole nation was ready. They wanted someone to come and save them. And they said their Messiah, their Christ, was going to be blessed by God, which, of course, they knew that being blessed by God meant they were going to be wealthy, they were going to be rich. The Messiah would be wealthy, the Messiah was going to be rich. And the prophets said that he was going to be a descendant of David. Now, David was a king. And so they knew that the Messiah, the Christ, was going to be a king. Royal birth. Now, this is important because they took this to mean that this guy, this Christ, was going to be the king of their nation. And so this powerful, wealthy king of royal birth that was coming to save the whole nation Israel was obviously going to come from a very powerful family. And this powerful family is going to have descendants. The word of God said that he would be on his throne forever. And so they took that to mean he was going to have descendants who would be kings and all of that. So the whole nation was waiting for the Messiah because they knew as soon as the Messiah comes, they would celebrate, they would have hope. And best of all, there would be death to their enemies because the Roman people had occupied the Jewish people's property and territory. And the Roman military had taken over Israel. And so the Jewish people knew that when their Messiah, the royal birth, wealthy and rich, wise one, who loved his country, came, they were going to kill the Romans. Is that what happened? They didn't see that coming, right? I mean, you have these Jewish people who are waiting for a Messiah to come that is all these things. Ooh, I almost lost it there. And instead of having a royal birth, what do they get? They get an unmarried teen pregnancy. Mary was a teenager. Mary was not married. Mary had a baby. That's not what they expected, was it? Anyone looking at that situation, do you think they would have gone, oh, Mary's not married yet, and she got pregnant and had a baby. Well, that's probably going to be the Messiah who saves us all. No, especially not in their culture, right? In their culture, you could have killed Mary. Right? Instead of having celebration and hope and saying, oh, wow, we win. This is going to be the best thing. Do you know what they actually had? Pain. Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, and obviously Joseph was like, man, she's been cheating on me, right? He would have been hurt. Everyone's like waiting for the Messiah to come, thinking it's going to be awesome, and Joseph is like, broken. Mary, she's not dumb, right? She knows how this is going to sound to Joseph, so she's probably in pain too. Right? She comes to Joseph. Joseph, I'm pregnant. And he's like, what? But we haven't. And he's like, I know. But Joseph, I've never had sex. Right, Mary. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in that well you've been drinking out of, but it ain't water. Right? Mary's not dumb. She knows how this is going to sound. It's painful, right? This would be a painful moment. And the whole thing about like wealth and riches and, oh, the Messiah is going to come from a powerful family and they're going to have lots of wealth and all this stuff. Instead of being wealthy, Mary and Joseph were actually poor. They were poor. The Bible says that they gave the offering of a turtle dove, which is the offering of a poor person. A person who is middle class or even wealthy would have given a lamb. They gave what the poor people gave. Let's write this down. The entire Christmas story is full of I didn't see that coming moments. Everything about this so far has been like, wow, I think God's going to do this. And God's like, no, you think that's what I'm going to do? It's not. I'm going to do this instead. Like, wow, well, we're going to have a baby who's a king. And he's like, how about an unmarried woman? How about a teen mother? You know, look again at chapter 2, because it's not just about Mary and Joseph. There's more unexpected than that. Okay, so jump down to chapter 2 here, and we're going to read verses 1 and 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, okay, that's the king that was there, Magi, these are wise men, came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Okay, these are wise men. Now, wise men came from the east. And what's fascinating about this is the people who come from the east, oops, I got the wrong box here. People who came from the east would not have been Jewish people. Now, it's important to understand that Jewish people viewed themselves as God's chosen people. Like, they didn't let Gentiles, non-Jews, into the temple. They wouldn't sometimes eat with Gentiles. Like, Gentiles were like filthy, dirty. We don't interact with them at all. So instead of getting a king of the Jewish nation, the very first people to recognize Jesus and worship him were Gentiles. This would have been shocking to the Jewish people. They'd have been like, what? Are you kidding me? And so instead of having a whole nation that's totally ready for whatever God's going to do, you get attempted murder. Because King Herod, you've probably heard this part of the story, King Herod hears about Jesus being born, and he says, let's kill him. Let's stop this right now. Let's stop that. I don't want someone else to be king. Let's stop this right now. And Herod tries to kill him. In fact, Herod asked the Magi, the wise men, says, when you find this little Jesus, will you come tell me where he is? And he was going to use that to kill him. Well, the Magi find this out, and look at verse 16 to 18 in chapter 2. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, because they just left without telling him, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who are 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that was learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. So instead of getting death to their enemies, what came when Jesus came? Death to their children. This is the exact opposite of everything the Jewish people expected when the Messiah came. Are you catching on so far? God works in ways that we don't expect. Give me a nod if you're getting this. Right? They're like, oh, he's going to be from a royal birth. Wrong. It's a normal family, right? This was just the poor people. Instead of a powerful family, Mary and Joseph were just a plain old family. They were wrong about that. Instead of being wealthy, they were poor. Instead of celebrating victory, their children died. I mean, like everything was going wrong. Well, not from God's perspective, because this is how God planned it. Do you notice in the Bible, it said this was done in accordance with the prophecy. God saw this coming. God planned this. God was using this. And Jesus' birth isn't the only thing. God is constantly doing things that you wouldn't expect him to do. See, they thought the Savior, when he got older, was going to be a conqueror who destroyed the Romans. But did Jesus destroy the Roman nation? No, Jesus died. Jesus said, love your enemies, not kill your enemies. And so Jesus loves people he shouldn't love. And the people that were expecting a Messiah start hating Jesus. And it seems all backwards. And then Jesus goes to the cross and he dies. Now, this wasn't a surprise to God. Look at what happened. And just jump back to the chapter before, chapter 1. Look at verse 21, right? The angel said it was going to be this way. Verse 21 says, "She, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from the Romans." Is that what it says? Because he will save the people from all their problems. No, it says he will save their people from sin. From their sin, right? God's plan is to save us from our sins, not from the Roman Empire. They didn't see it coming. Y'all know I've messed up. But give me a nice big yeah if you've ever messed up. Yeah. Right? So y'all messed up. And our expectation should be that God punishes us for our bad behavior. That's what our expectation should be. But again, God doesn't do things the way everybody else expects him to do. And so when you and I do wrong, instead of punishing you for your bad behavior, God sent Jesus to come to earth, to go to the cross, and God punished Jesus instead of punishing you. Where you should have been punished and you should have died and you actually should be in hell forever because you have offended a powerful eternal God. God said, you know what, I'm going to take care of this situation. I'm going to fix it right now so that they don't have to fix it themselves because we can. So God let Jesus die on a cross. He punished Jesus for every single thing you've done wrong, even that thing that you thought that you ain't told nobody you thought about because you're so ashamed that you thought it. It all went on to Jesus on the cross, every single bit of it. And if you believe him, that he lived, died, and rose from the dead, if you accept his forgiveness, then you're free. See, this isn't like everyone else. This is not what every religion in the world says. Christianity is different. We don't say, you better be good. You got to work your way to God. No, we say, you just have to accept the forgiveness that God offers you. You just got to accept it and believe that he's faithful. Wow, God does not work how we expect him to work. Actually, you know what? Let's just write this down. This is just a general principle, okay? God loves to use things that we don't expect. I think he gets joy out of using things that we don't expect because the types of people he uses, suffering is something he uses, the times and places that he uses are not things that we expect God to use. Maybe you expected your life to be one way and it's a different way. And you're like, well, I screwed things up. How many people in here ever feel like they screwed their life up? Yeah. And see, what happens is we think, man, you know what? I was going to have a big old family, and it was going to be awesome. But instead of getting a big family, I've been infertile. And like you think your life is over or ruined. You actually thought you were going to be healthy, didn't you? But then all of a sudden, you're running into all sorts of health problems. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a friend who's sick. Maybe I don't know what it is for you. And you're thinking, where is God in all of this? You thought people were going to love you, but instead of having people you love, you got a whole bunch of people problems right now. Christmas dinner, you're just like, I hope we get through Christmas dinner without one of us getting arrested for murder. Right? Like all these things going on. Like some of you, actually, you thought you were going to have a great job when you got older, but now you just got an idiot boss. Right? Who's got an idiot boss? Just show it. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you might have brought your boss, and I don't want to get you. Some of you thought that you were going to be wealthy and rich, and then things got tough, and you find yourself poor right now. And here's one that's especially hard to deal with this time of year. Some of y'all thought you're going to the Super Bowls, but you're a Chiefs fan. Can I get an amen? Okay, maybe not that. I don't know. They're actually doing all right. But, you know, what is it for you? What is it for you that you thought life was going to go this way, but it didn't? It went some other direction where you're like, I didn't see that coming. My life feels like it's missing something here. And I want you to think about it for a moment. And I want you to tell yourself, expect God to work in ways that I didn't expect him to work. You should expect God to work in ways that you didn't expect him to work. When you face infertility or people problems or an idiot boss or health problems, that doesn't mean God is absent. That means God is working in a way that you just didn't expect him to work. We got to wrap our minds around this. God does things that we don't expect him to do. Are you okay with that? Because that's how it's going to be anyway, whether you're okay with it or not. I suggest we accept it and deal with it. You know, when we started doing foster care years ago, we got three of the most delightful kids I ever met in my life. Their names were Aaliyah, Jeff, and Jaden. We took a picture with them. They were so beautiful. And we actually thought that we were going to adopt them. And we had them for like a year and a half, and the foster agency actually said, you're going to be able to adopt these kids. And then one evening, they're gone. And I won't even go into the whole story, but like our hearts broke. Like we were broken. You ever lose a kid? And it was terrible. Like they would come and visit our house, and Jaden, the little girl, would sit in the bedroom that was hers, and she would start to cry, and she would say, don't leave. Stay, mommy, daddy, and sob into a stuffed animal until it was soaking wet. And I'm just like, God, what's going on? What the heck, man? Like, I didn't see that coming. I had no idea how God could use it. None. I had no idea how God would use that or could use that. Months later, a lady from our church got pregnant and asked us if we would consider adopting a baby. And at first, I was like, no, I ain't going that route again, right? Like, that's painful. It sucks. I'm not doing that. But after a while, we decided to go for it. And then Simeon was born. And this is a picture of us with Simeon. And Simeon's the one who flew down the stairs, launched himself halfway, right? I didn't see that coming. Like I said, about most of Simeon's life, I didn't see it coming. That's just his theme, all right? He's just crazy. And then the next year, we got a girl in foster care named Macy. And then Macy came to our home, and we adopted Macy. And she's the most beautiful little girl ever, just so joyful. When I put her to bed at night, this is our routine, okay? Hugs, and then big kiss, medium kiss, little kiss, tiny kiss, whisper kiss, tin kisses, nosies, butterfly kiss, and then Hawaiian kiss. And I love it, you know, like I'm like a 220-pound guy, and I'm like, let's do the kisses, come on. I love it, you know, but I didn't see that coming. The thing is, like, it still broke us, it still hurt that we had lost the three, but God was able to repair some of what was wrong and some of what was missing, and the pain didn't always go away, but we experienced new things, and if we hadn't lost those three, we would have never had these two. God works in ways you don't expect him to work. But then like something completely unexpected happened, and those three that had gone away, they actually came back. And this year, we were able to adopt them. So now we have more kids, and then, you know, we've got a couple others beyond that even. It's just like, it's an amazing thing. I did not see this coming. When we lost those other kids, like, I thought my life was over. But the moment you think your life is over is the moment where God says, let's get this started. You hear me? The moment you think your life is over, God says, let's get this started, because God works in ways that you don't expect him to work. When you're like, man, if I was rich and smart and had a good job, then God could really use me. And God's like, I want to use you right now. Where you're at right now. And you didn't see it coming. And maybe you're missing God doing something right in front of your face because you're worried about this and this and this and all these things. But God's like wanting to do something. How do you know what God wants to do? How do you know what God's doing in your life when everything's going crazy? It was actually in the Christmas story. Did you notice it? Look at chapter 2 again, verse 1. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. Because there were people in this Christmas story who saw it coming. Though almost the whole world didn't see it coming, I want you to look and notice that some people did. Who were they? Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of the King Herod, the Magi, the wise people, these Magi who knew God, came from the east to Jerusalem and asked, where's the one who'd been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. Okay? They came to worship him. Not only did they know Jesus was the King of Israel, they knew it was God come to earth. They came to worship him. They knew when no one else knew. Flip over to verse 5. Some people answer them, well, the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and they go on to explain how the Bible prophesied what was going to happen. So who understood what was going on? Was it the people who just, you know, they just looked at their circumstances? No, it was the people who knew God and knew God's words. Those people were able to see what God was doing, and they were able to see God at work when no one else could see it. Let's write this down. This is huge. The people who did see God at work when nobody else did were the wise people who understood God and the people who knew the scripture, right? The Bibles, right? This is huge. You got to have a group of people around you. Do you have a group of people around you in your life that match these things? Not just friends who like you, not just family who loves you, but people who are wise and understand God and people who know the scriptures, who are able to look at your life and say, because I know the scriptures and because I understand God, what I think God is doing in your life is, you see, we got some small groups of people at our church. What do we call them if you go here? Growth groups, right? We got these growth groups, and this is one of the things we do at growth groups is we look at each other's lives and go, man, I think what God's trying to do is, I think what God's trying to work out in your life is, and sometimes we're pointing out God at work. Sometimes you don't want to hear it, though. You don't want to know what God wants from you, and that's why we also call these people, what type of friends?
Jerk
friends, right? Do you need jerk friends who love Jesus and love you enough to tell you things that you don't want to hear? You know those people in your life. It used to be your mama. But now you need some other people in your life like that. They love you so much, they will tell you what you don't want to hear. But they also, you need people, not just, it's not just your family, you see. You need people who are friends, who love you, but expect more from you, but who also know Jesus and know the scriptures, so they aren't just giving you foolish advice like every other brother and sister that walks around this world. You hear me? They got to love Jesus, they got to know the scriptures, otherwise they're not going to be like any different than anyone else. They're going to look at your life and go, man, I don't know what God's doing. You're a Chiefs fan. That's just like, you're just going to hell, dude. Right? They got to know the scripture to know that even Chiefs fans can be saved to the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
Right? So that they can look at your life when you're facing these people problems, they can say, I think what God's trying to do through that idiot boss of yours is teach you this. Here's what we got to do when we go home today. Number one, I need to look for what God is up to, especially when I feel like it wouldn't make sense, right? When you're in that I didn't see it coming moment, you got to say, now it's time to open my eyes and look, because God's going to be doing something. I need to be ready for it. Someone texted in and asked this question. I absolutely know that God works with and through the problems. I also know that I caused the problem, right? Like, yeah, God works through problems, but yeah, I got a financial problem because I got a speeding ticket, and that was not God's fault, right? You know, if you were here last week, so whoever texted it in, that's true. Not all problems are our own fault, though. You know, sometimes you get sick, and it's not your fault. Sometimes your boss just decides to hate you, and it's not your fault. You know, sometimes it's not your fault, and so what we got to do is recognize that no matter what happens, God is still in control, right? Just because we have free will, and we talked about this last week a little bit if you were here. Sometimes just because you have free will doesn't mean God's not in charge. God is all the way in charge, even over your free decisions, and you can make some poor decisions, but God still has a plan over and above that. Here's what you need to do, the next thing. I need a group of wise people who understand God and know the scriptures who are able to help me figure out what God is doing in my life. You got to have that, man. You got to have that. If you don't have that group of people around you, you're just going to be fighting the wind, wondering why God's doing what he's doing and not being able to grasp it. And the third thing, I want you to understand this. This is to help other people. If you get to know God and you get to know the Bible, like you study it and you understand God, then you'll be able to understand what God's doing and you'll be able to help others going through their I didn't see that coming moments. This isn't just all about you. This is about other people that you know and care about, and you want to be able to help them. If you study scriptures and know what God's doing, you'll be able to put your arm around your friend and say, man, I love you, but here's what you need to hear from God's word right now and tell them. Like, I just want you to imagine for a moment one of those situations. Or maybe your friend has this where you lost a job, you're poor, you're sick, you're freaking out. But you have people around you who can put their arm around you and say, we think God's up to something here. Because I know you and I know God. Could you imagine how better things would be if that was the case? When we lost the kids, I had friends in my life who came to me and said, I think God is up to this. And everyone that I can remember was right. When I heard it at the time, I didn't know. But now I look back and I think it's true. I think they were right. You need people like that in your life. And you need to know God. You need to keep your eyes open to see what God's doing. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you'll help us to seek you and to look for you even when problems are all around, to expect you to work in ways that are unexpected. And I pray that you help us to know you better and be able to surround ourselves with people who know you well so that we aren't just taken off guard and so that we can help lead others to you. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, have a great week and Merry Christmas.